AEA 2009, how are avionics manufacturers weathering the recession? Rob Finfrock has a report. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is ANN Managing Editor Rob Finfrock, who is fresh off dealing with the fallout from our April Fool's Day massacre, and finds himself now at the annual AEA convention, the Aircraft Electronics Association in Dallas. This is an annual show. It's a chance for all the new electronic stuff that's going into airplanes to be displayed. And it's also a platform, in most cases, for some at least a few companies to make major announcements. Rob, first question I'd have to ask you is, in this recessionary environment, I have to say, looking at the website, the exhibitor presence still looked pretty strong at the show.
Paul, that's very true. The annual AEA convention is the time for the aircraft avionics industry to truly shine. And let's face it, if there was an exhibitor who didn't show up at an event like this, the buzzards would be circling before the day was out. So this is a very important show for the manufacturers to come to and display their wares, at the very least to maintain a presence at the show. Some of the more notable avionics makers in the industry, Garmin is a good example, they really didn't have any new products to share per se, but they did have an opportunity to speak to the industry on a more one-on-one level than you get at a large event such as Oshkosh or Sun and Fun or things like that, to speak with the market for their products, to speak with some of the larger OEMs, and to speak to the mom-and-pop FBOs and even private aircraft owners who may be somewhat overwhelmed to go to the Garmin display at Oshkosh, but in a setting much more conducive to one-on-one discussions, they're looking to upgrade their panel, and they want a Garmin representative, just to use them as an example, they want somebody to explain why they should put a 696 in their panel. So this is the show for that, and this show has been buoyed by the simple fact that while the industry overall right now is slumping, people aren't buying new planes, and unfortunately we've seen that in the numbers. That's both a blessing and a curse for an organization like AEA and its member companies, because while many of the vendors aren't selling as many products to the OEMs as they used to, the people who may have considered purchasing a $600,000 airplane a year ago may now instead be looking towards spending maybe $100,000 to upgrade the panel in their Archer. And for $100,000 and even half that, even a quarter of that, Paul, there are some great, great products out there, some amazing technology. Everywhere you turn is a new glass panel display, is a new device that allows you to put your iPod into the panel of your aircraft or in the cabin of your bizjet. Speaking of bizjets, you can add Wi-Fi service to the aircraft. Mm-hmm. You can add satellite telephone. And that was the major theme this year. Not so much a significant blow-them-all-away product, but minor but significant enhancements to existing items that make your aircraft far more functional, far more useful, and far more attractive in the marketplace when the time comes and the economy improves, to where if you do trade in your aircraft, you've got the latest in technology to show that potential buyer. And that's what I feel is the major significance of a show like AEA, is improving the aircraft that are already out there, improving the products that have been introduced over the past couple of years.
All right, Rob, I have never been to AEA. Tell me what the flavor of this show is. I know that, you know, some of the shows you see, you know, suits on the people who are working the booths and a lot of other people who are just attendees coming by in cutoffs and flip-flops. NBAA, of course, a lot of the attendees are wearing suits. What does this show look like? Who is on the floor who wants to talk to Garmin, in your example?
It's a very eclectic mix, and I would think that that would be the flavor would be somewhat enhanced by the fact that this year's show is in Dallas, Texas, at a resort that is very proud of being in Dallas, Texas, and everything that entails. So it's a very eclectic mix on the floor, and I'll give you an example. I showed up in my traditional dress shirt, tie, slacks, and I was overdressed for the majority of the event. So tomorrow it'll be a nice shirt and jeans. That's the atmosphere of the show. It is more relaxed. You see the suits, you see the ties. Typically those are the larger aircraft manufacturers, the major charter companies, for example, that are looking to possibly add to the usability and the features of the aircraft that are available for fractional use or for charter operations. But most of the people I saw, I could imagine having a nice 172 or a Columbia 350 in their hangar, a few years old. Some of the items in the panel are starting to get a little long in tooth. They don't want to write that big paycheck for a new airplane, but they want to enhance the plane they have now. And like I said before, plenty of choices out there for them.
All right. Now, you mentioned just in passing Wi-Fi a couple of minutes ago. If you're an airline, you get a presentation made at your convenience at your office. Who is looking at things like this at a show like AEA? Is this a technology that's actually affordable for a business aircraft?
Paul, let's talk a little bit about American Airlines, and let's talk about the company that landed a major contract this week to completely equip American Airlines' domestic aircraft fleet with its GoGo wireless internet system. AirCell, a significant player in the corporate aircraft sector for the last couple of years with its Access in-flight telephone system, expanded that offering a couple years ago to include limited Wi-Fi access on aircraft. That is a ground-based system. It's going through cell towers, which makes it optimal for American in the fact that their planes are going to be flying over land across the United States. It's a little problematic when you're going out over the oceans, but they're not at that stage yet, and GoGo is a fantastic system for their purposes. It's also relatively inexpensive. It's a little less expensive than a satellite-based Wi-Fi solution, which is also out there.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about AirCell and made very clear that, you know, they were very proud to have won that contract from American Airlines. That's a rather significant selling point to somebody who maybe operates a small fleet of Challenger 300s or even somebody who has a private biz jet for his or her business who's maybe looking to add Wi-Fi for their purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tremendous selling point that a company like AirCell can go to and say, well, if it's good enough for American Airlines, we'll bet it's good enough for your plane as well.
Right.
And that's a nice example of not only how technology is slowly working its way down from the larger aircraft sectors into the smaller corporate environment and even the Part 23 environment. It's also a great example of the technology that's available. And it really is mind-boggling when you stop and think about it and when you see it presented to you all at one time.
Rob, we need to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about maybe some of the things applicable to the small aircraft flyer. Rob Finfrock is my guest, ANN's managing editor. He's at AEA in Dallas. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin WAS Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Rob Finfrock, who is at AEA 2009 in Dallas, looking at all the new avionics. Well, let's talk for a minute about Part 23. What kinds of things would there be of interest to folks who fly smaller GA aircraft? I know that there have been some incremental improvements, and we all know ADS-B is on its way.
That's right, Paul. ADS-B is working its way in here, and one of the announcements that Avadyn had at AEA was the fact that their TAS-600 traffic avoidance advisory system is now equipped with ADS-B in, meaning that it can receive signals from other ADS-B-equipped aircraft that allow it to detect those planes even closer than before with traditional advisory and traffic collision avoidance systems. That's a fairly significant upgrade. It's not an entirely new product, but it is a significant enhancement to an existing product. Another example of big jet technology that's working its way down to smaller general aviation aircraft, both jet and piston, is L3. They announced their Trilogy system, which is a very neat little electronic standby instrument system. And this one small screen replaces four conventional instruments. It gives you your heading. It gives you your attitude information. It gives you airspeed and altitude, as well as rate of climb and descent. A lot of information, which in the past has been spread out between several gauges, on modern glass panel-equipped airplanes, you still have to deal with traditional backup instruments. This the Trilogy system replaces those three gauges that are back dab, you know, front and center, a little lower in the front of the pilot of an SR-22, for example. Those three gauges, those backup gauges, can be replaced with one electronic standby instrument. It's a completely independent. It has its own AHARS system in it. It has its own backup battery. And when you couple that to a glass panel solution in an aircraft, and of course L3 has its smart deck system that's approved for installation in older pre-Integra SR-22 Cirruses, it's a tremendously efficient and also a rather attractive system. And again, you're talking about the pilot only having to look at one place to get all their information about how the aircraft is performing in one place. Now, that's a piece of technology that's been around for several years in commercial airliners. Mm-hmm. It's trickled down into the business aviation community within the past 5 years, and now it's available for practically any piston aircraft that has a glass panel system in it. A tremendous advancement, not a mind-blowing new shining example of technology. This isn't exactly the revolution that Garmin's G1000 system was, for example, several years ago.
Right.
But it is a nice enhancement using existing technology in a new application for piston aircraft.
Well, I think it answers a concern, too, of people who say if someone uses a very, very reliable glass panel main system and it fails, how rusty are they going to be at interpreting steam gauges?
it's night and day, literally. The information you get on a glass PFD versus resorting back to steam gauges. I've seen it. I've tried to do it. It's not easy. It's not overly difficult, but of course I wasn't trying to do it in a crisis situation either.
Well, and if it's been years since you tried to do an instrument scan, that's not the time to be relearning it.
Very true.
Well, Rob, we appreciate your insight. It's good to have somebody on the floor there, and we look forward to any new nuggets that turn up over the weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Paul.
You can find out more about AEA 2009 at www.aea.net. Rob Finfrock is ANN's managing editor, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.